You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Early BP. I'm Mike Farron. We'll take a look back at this past week. It was an eventful one, more off the field than on, and we can review in just a little bit. And we'll visit with Torrey Lovello before the series finale between the D-backs and the Washington Nationals. D-backs with a chance to get back to 500 as they face old friend Patrick Corbin today at Chase Field. But last night, the D-backs' offense was robust as they hammered Steven Strasburg for a second time this year.
Second to Marte. Swings, hits one to right. Hit it well. At the wall. She is gone. A two-run home for Escobar. And this game is tied. And that's now five home runs off Strasburg this season for the Diamondbacks.
Ooh, that ball was absolutely clobbered.
Three homers off Strasburg. He makes seven in two starts for the D-backs as they hammered Washington 18-7 last night. Mostly offensive players going with the high Sox trying to spark a rally. It certainly worked, and nobody had a bigger night than Eduardo Escobar. Two home runs, seven knocked in, career highs in homer and RBI for a single season, and his three-run home run that capped the scoring for the D-backs was off his best friend, Brian Dozier. We talked to Escobar after the game.
The home run off your good friend, Brian Dozier. How was that?
Oh, I think it's the best RBI in my life, you know, because this, you know, it's my brother, but, you know, I want to make a swing hard.
It looked like Suzuki was giving you a hard time when you crossed the plate. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, he talking to me loud, but, you know, I still brothers. It's my guys, you know, Suzuki and Dozier. But today is something different, you know.
Yeah, a big day for you. Yeah. Two homers, seven RBI, career highs in both those categories. What's this season meant to you?
No, you know, I'm so happy, you know, for me, you know, coming working hard every day, you know, the most important for me is help the team win, you know. So today I'm proud, you know, so I got a seven RBI. And two homers, you know, but I continue tomorrow. That's the most important.
Now, everybody wore the high socks tonight. Whose decision was that?
Escobar.
Escobar decided. Everybody going to wear it again tomorrow?
Yeah, for sure.
Great season for Eduardo Escobar. The D-backs with a much-needed win. They pulled within 3.5 of Washington for a wild card spot. They have a chance to make up some more ground today if they can get the victory in the series finale. Taylor Clark is coming off two very strong starts. Will make the start for the D-backs. And we'll talk to Torrey Lovello more about that in just a little bit. But it was a very eventful last week for the D-backs. It's time for a look back at the past week in D-backs Week in Review. The D-backs week didn't start well on the fields. The D-backs dropped Sunday's third game of a four-game set to Miami.
See it ready. Here comes the 1-2 to Tomas. Swing and a miss. Yasmani strikes out. The ball game is over and a disappointing 5-1 loss of the D-backs to the Miami Marlins as they've dropped two of the first three in this series.
A six-run second inning did them in Game 4 of the series as they dropped 3 of 4 to the last-place team and headed to New York to take on the Yankees. But then the offense got going in the Bronx.
Walker lines one down the right field line towards the fence. It's gone! Line drive, opposite field, home run, Christian Walker, 2-0 D-backs. The 2-2. Swinging a liner into left field, a base hit. Adam Jones will score on the RBI single from Nick Ahmed. D-backs lead 3-0.
Taylor Clark allowed just an unearned run in 5 1/3 innings as the D-backs beat New York 4-2, their third straight win over the New York Yankees this season. Wednesday was the trade deadline, and there was a lot of speculation surrounding the D-backs, who made four moves. The smallest one, John Ryan Murphy, the opening day catcher for the D-backs this year, traded to the Atlanta Braves. The other ones, well, they were pretty significant. D-backs traded top prospect Jazz Chisholm to the Miami Marlins for right-handed starter Zach Gallen. Gallen was a minor league teammate of Carson Kelly in the Cardinals organization before St. Louis shipped him to Miami in the Marcelo Zuna deal.
I actually ironically talked to Carson the last day the Diamondbacks were in Miami, and we just kind of talked about his move here, not even thinking of anything that could happen. When we talked about it today, you know, how funny was it that we talked about it, you know, not too long ago. First got to AAA, he had an open room or open spot, so I kind of crashed on an air mattress, you know, so that was awesome. So we got to know each other pretty well for those couple weeks that I was there.
Gallen posted a 2.72 ERA in his first seven starts in a Miami Marlins uniform. Then the deadline went quiet while the D-backs built a lead in New York.
1-1. Lamb in the air to center field. Coming on is Hicks. He makes a shoestring catch. Tagging and coming home is Escobar. On his way to third is Peralta, and the ball gets away into the dugout. Peralta will score. 3-2 D-backs.
Zach Greinke threw five strong innings before a rain delay came, and when Greinke didn't come back out for the sixth, no one blinked until the final moments of the trade deadline. The D-backs acquired veteran right-hander Mike Leake from the Seattle Mariners.
A little surreal. I mean, playing for a hometown team is a dream for me, so it's nice to be here and have that opportunity. So right now I'm a little bit on cloud nine, but I know in a few days I'm going to have to take care of business. I just think the desert has a spirit to it. I mean, I enjoy living here and I enjoy being here. I mean, it's home for me, and hopefully I can bring some special memories.
But that wasn't even the big news of the day. Moments later, it was announced that the D-backs had traded Zach Greinke to the Houston Astros. In exchange, the D-backs received four prospects: Corbin Martin, J.B. Bukauskas, both pitchers, Seth Beer, an outfielder first baseman, and infielder Josh Rojas from Litchfield Park. The D-backs lost the game to New York. They fell a game under 500 to come home, but none of that was as important as the trade of Zach Greinke. Manager Torrey Lovello.
I got word probably in the sixth or seventh inning and needed to let him know. And that's just how this game is. It's tough. And, you know, I had a chance to, have a short conversation with him and just tell him how much he meant to me personally and then to this entire Arizona Diamondback organization. He's done some very special things. And I think the fans of Arizona will realize that, Zach is a potential future Hall of Famer in my eyes and should be in theirs as well. So we should appreciate the time we had with them.
Well, the D-backs lost their all-star ace. Mike Hazen did acquire two starting pitchers who slotted right into the rotation.
I'm sure there's some wonderment on what we're doing. I respect that. You know, I think when you're in the middle of what we're going through, I think trading your number one starting pitcher doesn't always make sense, intuitive sense, and I fully appreciate that. And you know, if things don't go well here, and that will be my responsibility. I still believe that we're a talented club. I still believe that we're only a few games out of a playoff spot. I still believe this team competes as well as any team I've been around. And I think all those things matter as we go down the stretch. We have, there are a bunch of teams in the mix for things. No one seemed to really separate a lot of the things that happened over the trading deadline. I think what we need to do is play better.
First game back, D-backs lost to Washington 3-0, managing just an infield hit from pitcher Alex Young. Saturday night was a different story.
Swing and a drive to left, and that's going to leave in a hurry. A three-run homer by Escobar. He's knocked in seven tonight, and it's now 18-4 Diamondbacks. Have a night, Eduardo.
Escobar sent single-season career highs in home runs and RBI with that blast as the D-backs beat Washington 18-7. The D-backs go 2-4 on the week, but franchise-altering deals were the big story in an eventful week that was. More coming up on the Diamondbacks Radio Network. Sets up a pretty important day for the D-backs. If they can get back to 500, maybe pick up some ground on Washington in the wild card race. Washington and Philadelphia currently tied for the second spot, and D-backs welcome in the Phillies for three starting tomorrow. Let's talk a little bit about last night and preview today with the manager, Torrey Lovello. Torrey, why do you think you guys have Steven Strasburg's number to this point?
I don't know. It's one of those things you can't explain. And much like the night before, I was left scratching my head. I'll say the same thing. One of the best pitchers in the National League comes in, and for the second time, we banged him around a little bit. But I think it's just a sign of what type of hitters we have, the caliber of player, the idea of us sticking to a game plan and not coming off of it. It showed up a couple times, and they rose to that challenge.
So you think it was game plan and not the high sox last night?
Well, if you ask the guys, I'm sure they think the high sox had something to do with it. But not everybody participated, right? I think right. There were two of the guys that didn't do it. I don't know. I just feel like these guys were prepared. I think they were frustrated from the night before, maybe a little embarrassed getting the one hit thrown against us, and it was only the pitcher that got the hit. They did a good job of getting ready for the day.
Eduardo Escobar has put together career-high totals, still with about a third of the season to go. Mm-hmm. What stood out the most to you about Eduardo now that you've had him for a year?
The intensity and the preparation and the ability to execute under any circumstance. You don't drive in close to 90 runs at this point in the season. You don't do it over the past couple of years and been consistent with the numbers he's had unless you go up there with a game plan and believe that you're going to get the job done. So I think he's a very, very special player. He's got a tremendous mindset. There's a tremendous amount of passion to be the best version of himself, and he passes that along to his teammates, and that's what's very, very impressive too.
Is he a better defender at second or third in your mind?
Well, I think probably third base. If you throw into the range factor, and I think his range is probably average as a second baseman, but the amount of space that he covers in short spurts is more suited for third base for me. And I think that's his natural spot, and I think he likes to play that position. He's done it very well for the past several years.
Right. I heard you say after the game last night that Robbie Ray had his back tightened up on him, but that you overreacted. So what happened?
Yeah, I just saw him talking to the trainer, and I got a little bit of information from the trainer, and then I basically panicked, and I thought, well, he's got one more inning of pitches, and if he hits, I'm going to take him out of the game. I made that decision, and when we rotated and had the big inning, and it was his turn to hit, I made that move. But as it came out, when he came out of the game, he went and got evaluated. He was just fine, and we're very thankful for that.
Right, and that's certainly good news. So there's nothing going on. He's expected to make his next start this weekend.
Yeah, correct. And he takes good care of himself. And like I said, I probably overreacted, but that's my job. I got to protect these guys.
All right, let's talk a little bit about today and all right-handed lineup against Patrick Corbin. That's got to be one of the biggest surprises of the season, right?
Yeah. Not really. Look, we know Patrick very, very well, and I know his attack plan, and I've watched it for two years, and he's had tremendous success using that plan. So I know he's not going to come off of it. He's got two pitches. It's going to be either the fastball or the slider, and he can sweep that slider or he can land it. He's got a very good feel for where to and how to throw it. But he's 50-50. He doesn't just use one pitch more than the other. And you got to really stick with what's going on. And he's not going to get predictable. So don't lean on one thing at one time. You just got to be a good hitter.
Okay. Well, one of the things that he does well, as much as everybody focuses on the slider, is he works in effectively to right-handed hitters probably as well as any left-handed pitcher in baseball. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily comfortable for right-handed hitters. So what are the adjustments hitters have to make on that?
Knowing what a ball and a strike is in that area. And when we first got here, that was a huge strength. That's what we had to get him off of, because that's all he wanted to do was throw that little fastball cutter combination in on right-handed batters. But there was so much value in working the outer half of the plate. So we're going to divide the plate in half. And if we are going to look for the fastball in, we got to hit in and make sure it's a strike. If we don't, we just got to be a good hitter and be patient and know it's a ball or strike on the outer half.
Taylor Clark's coming off two very good starts where his slider usage has really ticked up. What went into the conversations to get him to rely on that pitch more?
Well, we talked about going up and throwing convicted pitches and really finishing the slider. You could tell he was maybe rolling it up there and not finishing it, and guiding it is the more common term. But I know that he and Mike Butcher work very hard in the bullpens. He used his entire body, get a leg turn, and finish the pitch. So it's also helped the fastball velocity. The fastball velocity has been sitting low to mid-90s, and he's locating that, which obviously when you locate that pitch, it sets up that secondary stuff.
Let's get rid of him.
Thanks so much.
Torey Lovello, manager of the D-backs, for the D-backs take on Washington and Patrick Corbin today. Taylor Clark gets the start for the D-backs in this one. D-backs looking to get back to 500 with a series win today. BP Show 1230, first pitch 1:10 on the D-backs Radio Network. All right, thanks for joining us for Early BP. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.